Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan on News Talk.
Dogs outnumber children in one in three neighbourhoods. I was reading this story in the Times UK over the weekend. 34% of postcodes across England have more dogs now than children. And experts have sort of dubbed this rise as dinkwad. So it's known as a dual income, no kids, with a dog, and it's mainly among couples, Gen Z, millennial couples as well. More dogs than children in three neighbourhoods now in the UK. Freelance journalist Andrea Smith is with me on the line today. Are we likely to see more of this in Ireland as well, Andrea?
I kind of think so. Now, I am obviously a single income, seven dog household.
Seven of them.
So that's slightly different. But I do think that, like, having pets, it's way easier than having children, Andrea, you know what I mean? It's like, you know, you get all the love, you get all of the fun, but you don't get the cheek and you don't get the huge expense. So I can see why.
Well, I imagine with seven dogs, you probably have, you know, quite a few outgoings with that.
Yeah, I suppose. But I don't have to save money for college funds, and I don't have to bring them to Disney and all that kind of stuff. You know, the local park will do it for them. So I suppose that, you know, the cost of living is gone very high, as we know. Mm. So, you know, you can see that people can't afford to have the kind of big families that were the norm in our youth. You know, none of my friends have more than one or two children, you know. So, and a lot of them are saying it's to do with expense. So I can see why that is. But also, you know, we're all working long hours, and I suppose it's a different situation now, isn't it, where you don't have kind of somebody who can stay at home in many cases, you know. So I suppose it's easier to have children or maybe have somebody come and walk them, or to have dogs, you know, and have somebody come and walk them, or to be able to work from home a little bit with them. You don't have to be kind of entertaining them. They'll sit at your feet, because I work from home and my dogs just cuddle up to me on the sofa, you know.
They're like little. So you can see why people are opting for the four-legged buddy over the...
Yeah, I mean, the problem is that there's a fatal flaw there, and it's that they just don't live long enough, you know. So, you know, you're not going to... The pet that you have now, you're not going to probably have in 10 or 15 years, you know. So there isn't a longevity in having pets instead of children, whereas hopefully your children will look after you in your old age, and, you know, you'll have... You know, they'll go on, they'll have, you know, families that you'll be part of. So there is that. I mean, obviously I'm being facetious here, because obviously pets don't replace children. But I do think that it is, you can see why it's such an attractive option for people, because, you know, you get the love, you get the loyalty, you get, you know, the fun. And there's less of, I suppose, a long-term commitment involved in it, you know.
And the cost is, as you mentioned as well. Jen Hogan's journalist is with us here too, Andrea, on the line, because you're the opposite. You've seven children. Can you see why more people are opting for dogs over kids, Jen?
Oh, God, absolutely, yeah. I definitely can. No, I'm kidding. I mean, obviously, I love my seven children a bit, but I'm totally with Andrea. Seven dogs would have to be easier than seven kids, because it's relentless. Like, being a parent, everyone knows, yes, it's wonderful, and we know the cliches, and we know how, you know, there's all this lovely payback as well. But my dog has never been, like, she's always delighted to see me. I don't get attitude from my dog. I don't get kind of any kind of eye rolling or any of the sort of stuff that you have to deal with teenagers. And I can absolutely understand why people adore dogs so much. I mean, she's definitely way less work than the seven kids. In saying that, it is really interesting, I suppose, to see that, you know, we did only have recently this kind of new report out from the National Economic and Social Council saying that we need to encourage larger Irish families, and we know our replacement rate is too low, and we know we have this kind of impending crisis coming our way because we're not having enough babies. But for all the reasons Andrea's pointed out, you can understand why people aren't. And I, as a mother of a ridiculous number of children, think you should only have children if you really want to, because they are a lot of work and they are fabulous. And if I was to have my life all over again, I would do the exact same thing again, because it was something that I very much wanted. But I do think that perhaps there's both a romanticising of having kids and a vilifying of having children. Both kind of happen at the same time.
Yeah. Well, the kind of what a lot of the experts have dubbed it, as I mentioned, this kind of dinkwad, and mainly between Gen Z and millennials, it's that it is a decision that's been taken. Like, I know for a lot of couples, getting the dog has often been the relationship stress test before having kids. But now they seem to be just replacing children altogether.
Yeah, and that's terrible. I mean, when I say it's terrible that people might think that they can't have children, that perhaps it's not if it's a choice and people choose not to have children, that's fine. But if it's all these external factors that are influencing their choice not to have children because they can't afford it, because we're in the middle of a housing crisis, or because we're in the middle of a cost of living crisis, or even the practicalities around two people working full time and trying to manage it, it's a huge demand and a huge ask on people. So I can totally understand why people might make that choice not to. But I don't think, as much as I adore my dog and as much as I've adored my other pets, and a bit like Andrea's pointed to there, they really don't live long enough, and they're very much your family and you adore them. I don't think one replaces the other. I don't think anybody would argue that one replaces the other. I think, I see people wheeling their dogs around. I saw somebody the other last week just wheeling their dog around in a buggy, and I just thought, it's the maddest thing I've ever seen.
Vet Pete Weatherburn is with us here too, Jen and Andrea on the line. I'm sure you see much more bizarre stuff than dogs and buggies, Pete.
Well, actually, I think dogs and buggies are great, because the thing is, dogs like going for walks, not just to get the physical exercise, but also to get the stimulation of everything going on around them. And so older dogs that can no longer walk as they used to walk, well, it's really great for them to be taken out in the buggy. So I don't think it's as strange as that person was just suggesting there. I think it's a very logical thing to do. No, we see an awful lot as vets of situations where people are absolutely treating their children like pets and asking us to give them the same level of care as if they were their children. And that's become very normal in the world of veterinary. And as vets, we really appreciate that, because it means that there is a better quality of care for these animals. People are looking after them way better than they used to do. But from the animal's perspective, that's just got to be good. And there's a number of reasons for it. You talked about some of them, but I think there's a scientific reason that's worth noticing, which is that the mutual gazing between owners and their pets, that triggers a reciprocal oxytocin release. And that's exactly the same chemical feedback loop that happens when parents and children are bonding, mothers and infants in particular. So there's a scientific reason why we do feel so close to them. And as well as that, dogs, and cats too, they provide a consistent, non-judgmental emotional anchor for us.
So, hang on, Pete. I'm just going to cut across you for a second there, because I just want to reconnect with your phone line, if you don't mind, for a moment. Leisha Downs is with us. Leisha's the owner of Outpaws and Wedding Woofs. They're a dog, bespoke dog service. Leisha, one of the key things they talk about, with regards to this, is the advent of social media, and that so many, Gen Z and millennials have these huge followings on social media and on their personal accounts, and their pet and the dog has become a massive part of that. I mean, like, when you're dealing with clients, is that, is the kind of the increased maybe love for the dog over kids, is it all about boosting their popularity in social media?
Well, Andrea, first of all, Happy New Year.
Same to yourself.
26, and it's all very exciting for everyone, new start. I think it's really interesting, some of the comments were made, all really positive, and especially what Pete was saying, there is a connection to the bond. And I think the similarities between dogs and kids aren't that dissimilar. Like, it's the love and attachment, the responsibility, the emotional impact, the companionship. And I think it is very interesting, going back to the millennials, like, at the end of the day, there's a big focus on their career and personal development. And many people can't kind of afford the financial and lifestyle hits that associate with children. So, an animal or a dog or a cat provides so much more in terms of emotional support, love, care, companionship. But yes, going back to your point with social media, like, so many people engage with their animals and themselves on social media because they also love the They love the feedback from that. You know, they love the joy that that gives them. And, you know, if you guys any day on the beach or walking, you will find that your communication with people when you have a dog is, like, incredible. Like, some people mightn't be, you know, very interactive in their lives with, you know, day to day. But when you have an animal, it changes the whole dynamics on your world. So, I mean, ultimately, the decision is very personal. And I suppose it is about balancing the financial realities, lifestyle. I mean, I come from a generation, I was brought up with dogs in my life from a very young age. You know, there is clients of mine who very much are very much focused on their doggies. They don't have children, they're career focused, and that's their choice. So I think we live in it's a very diverse world now where we have those choices. But I do think there is a lot of cost financially, obviously, associated with children and with pets. And it's an equal, you know, responsibility. But, you know, it's a personal one, you know, and they offer us so much. And we live in a very strange world these days where, you know, maybe animals are kind of the savior for helping us all bond together and be better people in general, too. So, but also, I do want to say it's really important that there's a lot of evidence out there that indicates the amazing relationship that children and pets have. So, you know, I'm really glad to hear such positive feedback today about that. And it's not just singly, you know, no, definitely not. You can't kind of do both. You definitely can.
You can manage to do both. Maybe just finally, Pete, I know a lot of people might have got pets over the Christmas period. And I know that's something that obviously vets would typically discourage against, that they're not just for the Christmas period. But like you are, is it across all age groups that you're seeing increases in pet ownership?
Yes, but I think in particular the change in attitude towards treating them like human children, it is happening more in the younger slice of our population. So people in their 20s, and you've been seeing young couples now getting together, and they get pets before they have children. So you get young couples in their 20s who come in with their pet, and they're very, very clear that they see the health of the pet as important as the health of the other human partner in their life. So whether it's a young man, a young woman, and a pet, and they're all equally important to each other. And so what I say to people who do that, I think it's great for animal welfare. I would say to people, do plan for your health care for your pet. And pet insurance is a game changer as far as that's concerned. Because, yes, vets can do fabulous work for animals now, but it does cost a lot of money and you have to prepare for that.
Just on the topic of pensions, there is a text from one listener, Pete, who says, tell those millennials and Gen Zers that their fur babies won't pay for their pension. The email is lunchtimelive@newstalk.com. Pete Wedderburn, Alicia Downs, Jen Hogan and Andrea Smith, thanks a million for joining us.
Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan. Weekdays at midday on News Talk.